If you turn back in your bulletin back to page 6 in our reading from Isaiah the prophet. Like I said at the beginning of service, but so there's these series of readings towards the second half of Isaiah that keep talking about God's servant. And it's not always clear who this servant is. Is the servant somebody specific? Is it Israel sent to serve God and to serve the world? Will it be some future king who will get them out of exile? But the more you read these passages about the servant, the more you start seeing how Jesus is the fulfillment. When John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, and God has told me that I will know who this one is," and Jesus appears, and John says, "It's him." He's really saying all these servant songs, as they're called in Isaiah, all these passages about who this Messiah, this Christ will be, it's all being fulfilled in Jesus. But look at this. It begins there in chapter 49, and the servant himself is speaking. It says, "Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named me." Sounds a little like a few weeks ago at Christmas, Jesus coming from the womb of Mary. "He made my mouth like a sharp sword." And indeed, Jesus speaks with truth in the word of God, in the word of God, which is truth. "In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away." And what that's saying is God didn't bring me until the time he appointed. He kept me hidden. Not everyone would see. How was God going to fulfill his promises? He would reveal it at God's timing. "And he said to me, 'You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified.'" And now it says Israel, right? But really what we have in Jesus is stepping into our place. He steps into the place of Israel, who were supposed to be God's servants, who God was going to use to bring about his plan. And yet they continued to rebel against him. They would embrace the role of being servants, and then they'd slough it off. They would see that God was supposed to use them, but then they'd reject him. And so God would need to send another servant. God would need to send Jesus to step into their place and truly fulfill all of that. But it wasn't going to always be smooth sailing. Verse 5 or 4. The servant says, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity." And you think about the life of Jesus, and there's plenty of times where it looks like whatever he's doing doesn't seem to be doing much good. And yet he says, "My right is with the Lord. My reward is with my God. The strength of all this is with God the Father, not in whether I can see immediate results or not. It is in the Lord's plan." So that's the servant, and it's Jesus is the servant. And it's this reminds us, going back to Israel and going back to those Old Testament times, we're reminded of just that pattern of how often they heard God's word, they were invited to be his servants, and they rejected. It's like a group of us coming before some trainer, somebody training us in to do something. And they give us a task, and we're meant to embrace that task and learn about it, but then we kind of slough it off. We reject it. And then we're like, "Well, let's try again." And we attempt again, but then we fail. And so this pattern keeps going until the trainer just says, "Enough, I'm just going to have to do it myself." And that's what Jesus came to do. We were not going to be able to save ourselves. We weren't going to be able to be this servant who could bring salvation for the entire world. And so Jesus jumps in. He steps into our place to be the servant, the ruler of the universe, the creator of the planet, steps in to be servant. kind of used to saying that, but it just turns everything upside down in a way that when Isaiah said it, it would have been shocking. When Jesus talked that way, it would be shocking. And really, if we pause and think about it, it's still shocking today. You don't necessarily always get the advice that in order to get ahead in this world, you're supposed to go be a servant. But there's Jesus. Jesus as servant. And he shapes us into servants. He invites us to live out his servanthood, his service to work through us. You see, it wasn't just that the trainer trains us. We don't do so well. He jumps in and solves it, and then we just get to be taken care of, as if we're royal or something, just sitting back and, you know, he takes care of us. No, Jesus did. He died on the cross. He rose again. He dies in our place to bring forgiveness. He conquers death. He did the service that is needed for us. But then he says, I continue to invite you into service. I continue to invite you to see that God the Father is molding you into servants, molding you into his people as a response to what Jesus has done. So again, he invites us to live out his servanthood. And it sounds beautiful. And it is. It's beautiful to think that God would use us in serving him and serving one another and serving the world. It sounds beautiful. Until you realize that there's just no way that we can be as selfless as Jesus. We can't be as loving and merciful and generous as Jesus. So how could it be that we could be servants living out the servanthood of Jesus? That just doesn't seem like it fits. Besides, it gets scary because we think, even if I can serve God with my life, it's scary out there and it's not always very easy to serve people. How many of you have ever tried to serve someone and it's not easy, it's uncomfortable, or it didn't go so well? Am I the only one? You tried to help somebody and it didn't go well, or they rejected you or something, right? It's not easy out there. And so you think, well, it's easy for Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the perfect and holy one. Of course he is the perfect servant. There is no way that we can be servants because it's just more difficult for us. Until you remember that it wasn't always smooth sailing for Jesus. I mean, if we remember for a moment, there was the constant ridicule, his poverty, his fickle disciples, the daily death threats. Being a servant in the servanthood of Jesus is certainly no easy thing. Jesus did not have it easy coming and being our servant. It led to his death. And when he invites us to be his servants, it doesn't mean he's inviting us into some easy life where it's just going to be peachy and keen. He's inviting us into something difficult, and yet he's inviting you into something beautiful. He has taken care of your sin on the cross. You are no longer having to work off your own sin. He has taken care of helping you to know what will happen after this life. He has given you eternal life. He has given you these assurances so that you are freed up now to learn what it means to be a servant, to learn each day, to embrace being servants and sometimes rejecting him. And he comes again the next day and says, I still want you to be on the team. I still want you to be my servants. Over and over again, he invites you to be his servants. As the brothers and sisters of Jesus, he invites us into the servanthood and he makes us a community of servants. He didn't call us to do this alone. He brought us into community. The community of the whole wide world church, but also a very specific community here at Bethel, a community. He brought us to be servants together as we encourage and support one another, and he is choosing to work in this way, which is incredibly generous of him. When you think about the perfect Son of God, when you think about the fact that he is the true servant, he could have done this a different way, and yet he invites you, his brothers and sisters, he invites you to be a community who will live out that servanthood. Think about it this way. 2 weeks ago when I was on vacation, I was with my dad and our oldest son, Sam, and we were in Georgia, up in the mountains. And we went to this place where you hike for 5 miles and you get to an inn. The inn is called the Hike Inn. Get it? So you hike 5 miles. The only way to get there is to hike, which is how we encourage one another. Well, there's nothing else to be done. We have to get there, right? That's where we're sleeping. That's where we're eating. It's a beautiful place in the middle of the woods. And then you have to hike the next day 5 miles back out. It's rustic, and yet it's got this great charm. But here's how to think about it in terms of being invited to serve. So when you get there, the staff is there ready to welcome you and show you to your room, which is kind of like a bunk room. There's coffee and tea and some cookies out in the dining room. It's kind of a snack that, you know, you just got off the trail. They show you the sunrise room, which looks out over the mountains, and there's all these, you know, games and books and things, and you can hang out there. And so you show up and you're a guest. They're thrilled that you're there, but you're a guest. But then they show you these places, and you go and you have a cup of tea, and you go to the sunrise room, and people are coming in off of the trail, and it starts to create a community there for the evening. You start to get to know people from all over the world who are there, who've hiked in. And then by the mealtime, you not only are you a guest, becoming part of the community, you also are invited to be servants. Because it's kind of like going to camp. Yes, there's a staff, they've made the food and stuff, but they ask you to help. Help set the table, help pass the food, help bring the dishes up. And so suddenly you go from being a guest to being part of the community to being fellow servants. And that's what it means to be called into servanthood with Christ. He has done the work. He has made the inn, so to speak. He has brought you into his house, and he welcomes you, and he serves you. But he has put you into community, a beautiful community, and he has brought you together in that, and then he invites you to serve. Now, at the Hike Inn, if we had messed up, they were still going to make sure that there was food on the table, right? And when Jesus invites us to serve, he's still going to make sure that his gospel keeps moving forward. But you have been brought into his house. You have been made into a community so that you can be fellow servants. This is what it means to be called into servanthood. So that you are a servant, that you can be focused on others and be loving and kind and generous, and you can embody this servanthood of Jesus. You are embodying the humility, death, and resurrection, and the hope of Jesus. We're not perfect servants, not on this side of eternity, but Jesus keeps inviting us, keeps bringing us into his house, keeps bringing us into community, keeps inviting us to be his fellow servants. Amen.